What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Hey-o! It's Pat Boyle, and today on the Best of the DA Show, what does the Jonathan Taylor pup list situation tell us? Plus, it's a Wednesday staple, a champ and a chump. Your best audio of the day and sound check. Oh, man, this was one heck of a show today, including Jerry Jones saying he would have drafted Jalen Hurts, and then the show just goes on an absolute off-the-rails bender on if Jerry Jones morphed into Jack Stern. It is one heck of a five-minute clip. Plus, then it gets even better. Chris Moore talks to Beef in Iowa, and they moo at each other. Very bountiful sound check today. Plus, at 8:20, Bogish was stunned doing news. Or actually, we were going to do stunned doing news at 8:20, and then we instead ended up doing dueling Peter Schwartz clips, dueling pianos with Peter Schwartz clips. Another tremendous segment. Finally, we did have Stunned to a News at 9:20, and then, of course, ended the show, as always, advanced analytics in the epic fail. Why don't you just sit back, buckle in, try not to spit out any coffee or food while listening to the Best of the DA Show today. It's a doozy, and it's now.
We begin in Indianapolis, where yesterday was cut down day around the NFL. Jonathan Taylor wanted a trade. Colts could not find an appropriate price for him. And so he remains a member of the Colts and is placed on the four-week PUP. So running back for the Colts, Jonathan Taylor will not be able to play in the first month of the season. Taylor wants out. Jim Irsay said if he's gone, nobody's going to notice. That didn't do well for the relationship between the two. And now we still don't know about the severity of the injuries that he has coming into this season either, but we know he's going to be out for the first month of the season as the Colts try to break in a brand new rookie QB from day number one. And so what does this Taylor situation tell us? It is where we begin, your cold open.
A couple days, couple weeks, couple months, we've been talking about a potential Jonathan Taylor trade ever since it became clear that he would request to be traded, then subsequently receive permission for his agent, Malki Kawa, to seek a trade. There was interest, real and significant interest from the Miami Dolphins and others. My understanding is the Colts had at least two solid offers. The general manager, Chris Ballard, who really held a high bar, Mike, wanted at least a late first-round pick. He decided it wasn't enough. There was a chance. I was told that a trade would happen. In fact, there were plenty of times over the last couple days that I thought a trade was moving toward completion. In the end, Ballard simply decided that it was not enough to trade a star running back in his prime that the Colts decided not to pay. So Jonathan Taylor goes on the PUP list. He is off the field. He starts the first 4 weeks of the season while recuperating from this ankle injury. And stay tuned for the next saga, which will probably start about a month from now.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, with that clip. So, Jim Irsay is clumsy with his words. He is clumsy with his direction. He is clumsy with his decision making. Let's go back to Jeff Saturday last year, which was obviously a disaster. Let's look at the spinning of the roulette wheel of quarterbacks in Indianapolis since the retirement of Andrew Luck. Let's look at just how the organization has really been handled over the last few years and things that he has said. And you can just sense that Jim Irsay is not the most stable cat in the barn. So when he goes out of his way to say that nobody's going to miss us, and that includes Jonathan Taylor, It's an unnecessary burning of a bridge. And I have lauded the Ravens for months now about how they handled Lamar Jackson. Lamar wanted a new contract, or he wanted to be traded. Sound familiar, Jonathan Taylor? And every time that Lamar Jackson tried to throw a grenade into the Ravens situation, try to get himself out, I'm not traveling for this game, I'm not going to show up to practice, oh, I'm still injured, I don't like you guys, you don't use me right, I need to get out of here, all that stuff. Everybody within the Ravens organization, coach, front office, etc., said, we love him, we want him here, we think he's great, all that stuff. Because creating more friction doesn't help you. The only way you can kind of navigate this to your own benefit is to keep throwing cold water on it and hope that tempers settle down and then you can get what you want in a trade, because then people don't sense that you're desperate, or you bring him back and get what you can from that player, which is what happened to Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. And so Jim Irsay took the opposite tack, and it was stupid. It's never going to be beneficial to publicly create a war with a player, considering you hold the cards, so just act like you always want the guy. There's never a reason to act like you don't want the guy. It only diminishes your hand. And you gotta have the hand. So Irsay should not have done that. But let's also be fair here about the Colts in this situation. Taylor has some type of injuries coming into this year. So he might not have even been ready to play the first 4 weeks anyway. Even if everybody was kumbaya, everything was hunky-dory. I love you, you love me. Oop, Taylor still can't play. So that's part of this. Jonathan Taylor attempted a power play when he also had no leverage. He's banged up, so you're not going to get what you want for him if you're the Colts. And you did it late in the season, late in the summer, rather, coming up on the eve of the season. So you didn't give yourself a full offseason to try to find a new home, etc. And you're trying to jump the line here on free agency, in that Taylor sees what's happening around the NFL of running backs that are not getting paid, and him or his agent or his family or all of them said, you know what, you can't wait until you're going to be a free agent, because then they'll either franchise tag you like Saquon and Jacobs and you won't get paid, or they're going to use you up this year and then your value is going to be plummeting anyway. So you got to get out now. So this is what he's trying to do. He is trying to get out or get paid, go somewhere where he'll get paid before the Saquon Barkley situation would unfold for him. The issue, though, is A, he's banged up. B, the running back market's not going to get better overnight because you're Jonathan Taylor. The running back market is what it is right now. It's not like the Giants won't pay Saquon and the Raiders will only go a little bit for Jacobs and the Chargers won't pay Eckler. And this goes on and on. But suddenly somebody's going to go, yeah, but you know, Jonathan Taylor didn't fit into that box. We're going to pay him. All of these guys are going to get the same resistance. So it was a silly power play if you're Taylor, and I thought missed time. On top of this, Jonathan Taylor is going to act like I'm not going to play for the Colts anymore. Well, to accrue the appropriate service time this year, he's going to have to play for the Colts. He's going to have to. So the power play failed from his standpoint. And if I was a running back, I would not have attempted any of these power plays because there is no leverage. It's a moment in time where there's no leverage whatsoever. You can't even create it, as evidenced by this. Look, the Colts might be in some type of battle with him, but if the Dolphins gave up a reasonable offer, he likely would have been traded. If somebody bowled over the Colts with an offer, he would have been traded, but he wasn't, because nobody's giving up a lot for a running back. It's just not happening. So it was, and I said this at the time when it happened, this was an ill-timed power play built out of delusion, which most of these running backs have. We can argue till the cows come home whether running backs should be valued more. I don't think they should, but many people think they should. Fine, you can have that take. But what you can't argue is this is the wrong time to act like you deserve more. You know, it's just, that's the bit. It's like, this market right now won't hold the running backs. They won't hold the running backs' value. So don't challenge it because it's the wrong time to challenge. And I would also say, take a note of what has happened with Melvin Gordon, because basically Melvin Gordon is Jonathan Taylor 5 years in the future. This was a guy who was a dynamic college running back that could do it all, coming out of Wisconsin, run the football, catch the football. He was incredibly productive in college and then early in his NFL career. And then he ends up getting kind of used up and then going to Denver, and he was less effective after his Chargers days. And now he can't even find a job, and he's just about 30 years old. It's a scary proposition for running backs, which is why they want to get paid. But, you know, it's why teams won't pay guys. Because at one point in time, Melvin Gordon was the guy saying, I deserve more, I deserve more. And then what did the Broncos get out of Melvin Gordon? Not much. And the next team might think the same thing about Jonathan Taylor, that we're 2 years away from him being not all that effective anymore anyway. It's just, to me, the reality of the situation. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number, if you want to jump in on that topic. Also on Twitter, DA on CBS. Last night, Alex Cobb, two outs, ninth inning against the Reds, carries a no-hitter into the ninth, after a spectacular diving defensive play by his guys to end the eighth. He is one out away from immortality. And Cobb gives up the base hit right center field, breaks up the no-no with two outs in the ninth. Brutality. And he throws, what, 120 pitches last night or something? Which the only time any pitcher goes over 105 pitches these days is if they've got a no-hitter intact. So if you're going to throw the 120 pitches, you want the no-no. You got to have the no-no. You need the no-no. No, no, no. No. No, no. Last night.
No.
No.
No. No, no.
No, no.
No.
Nope.
Not going to happen.
Not a no-no.
No.
No. No. Not no mo. No, no. No, no, no.
No mo. No, no.
No go. No go. No, no.
No go.
No, no. No, no. No go. No mo. No, no.
No.
No. No.
No.
I'll never forget Edwin Jackson, I think, threw a no-hitter. It was like 158 pitches, and it was like... Is it really worth it?
Well, yeah, I do think it is, because for Alex Cobb, isn't that going to be the most notable thing of his career?
No.
That he is, that he would have had a no-hitter last night?
No, 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 no.
At home as well? Do it in front of the home crowd? The road no-no is not as good of a no-no.
No.
No. No. No.
No. Giants do beat the Reds 6-1.
No. No, no, no. No.
I got to, and to respond to anybody that thinks that throwing 120 pitches, you're immediately going to be hurt. Edwin Jackson, 149 pitch, 8 walk, no hitter in 2010, and then went on to make 30 starts for like the next 4 straight years.
See that? Sometimes the fear is misguided, unfounded.
Oh! So take your analytics and shove it.
That's right. With the win, the Giants remain the third wild card in the National League wild card standings. Phillies are on a roll. They've won five in a row. They lead the wild card standings, then the Cubs, and then the Giants, who have a half game lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Some people call them the D-backs. I try not to because that sounds like something else. Some people call them the Snakes.
Who calls them the Snakes?
I've heard it.
Snakes.
Oh. I mean, it is kind of tough that they named a team Diamondbacks, which gets shorted to something that sounds like D-bag. Not great. I'm sure they didn't think about that when they named them back in 1996 or 7 or whatever.
Yeah, maybe don't make a four-syllable name for a team. Well, that's three.
Call them the Snakes.
Diamondbacks.
Arizona something else.
Cobras. Could have been the Cobras.
Cobras.
Could have been the Rattlers.
I don't know if there's Cobras in Arizona, but yeah, something. The Rattlers is good.
Are there Diamondbacks in Arizona?
Yes. Yeah.
What's the difference? Different kind of snake?
From a cobra? Yeah, it's a different kind of snake. Yeah. Cobras are not native to North America.
Oh!
As far as I know.
What about?
D-bags are, though.
Yes.
Plenty of those in Scottsdale.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's Champ or Chump.
All right, welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, the DA show is available on your phone. You can stream us using the CBS Sports app. You can also stream us using the free Odyssey app as well. And listen to podcasts of the show, as always, by going to your favorite podcast platform and downloading the DA show. Full 4 hours with the best of the show every single day. All right, your champ on the morning is a football school that maybe you were not aware is still playing football after their celebrity head coach had left. That's... As we all know, Deion Sanders heading over to Colorado after 3 years at Jackson State. And, you know, this is a program that I think has been overlooked for a long time because Jackson State has been a program that obviously is in FCS, HBCU, and Deion got there and then ends up, you know, putting it on a different level. And then ultimately, people ignore it afterwards. But it has a great history and has produced a lot of great NFL talent back in the 60s and 70s into the 80s when HBCU players finally started getting their due from NFL scouts and executives. And so I'm just going to say that, hey, keep an eye on Jackson State because even though their celebrity coach is gone, they're still there. They'd like to know that they're still there. And for you to know that they still play football. So they're my champ this morning.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump, Josh Donaldson. What a disaster. After the acquisition by the New York Yankees, supposed to be a big bat in that lineup, Donaldson's brutal two-year tenure in New York is finally over. He was flat-out released yesterday. He has never been productive. He's been a divisive force inside that clubhouse. He's been part of the issue of bad attitude and just maybe entitlement that has ruined the Yanks over the last couple of years and really bad personnel decision-making by Brian Cashman. Now, Cashman, by and large, over the last 25 years has been very good in player assessment, etc., but he's had a couple of real head-scratchers recently, and Donaldson's at the top of that list. And so Donaldson's brutal years, two seasons in the Bronx, are over in ignominious fashion, as they say, as he is just flat out cut by the Yankees yesterday. He is the chump.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
It's funny because with the Yankees, they're so bad. They're in last place, the American League East. They've been this swoon since really right after the 4th of July. In fact, as of a couple of days ago, I saw a stat where the Yankees had one of the worst records in Major League Baseball since the 4th of July, tied with the A's. And in the offseason, I don't think there's a lot of hope or optimism that they're going to get this thing figured out either.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always listen to us in podcast form. Best of the show or the full 4 hours available on your favorite podcast platform. Search the DA show. We start with Jerry Jones.
Guy like having a skeeter on a tampon.
Talking about Jalen Hurts.
I think had we been able to draft him with next year's four, the kind of talent he was in this draft, like I just told you 2 years ago, we were looking at Philadelphia quarterback, I'm not calling any names, but looking at him, had he fallen to us there, we would have drafted him.
As I said before, the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have a franchise quarterback. You've paid him a lot of money. If you did want to pose any type of competition threat, you now have done so with Trey Lance. But let's double down and tell Dak we would have drafted your replacement 3 years ago. I mean, it's just kind of perfect. You're just... Let's try to create insecurity, paranoia, motivation. I'm not sure what the point is or just flapping your gums, but just... It's Jerry, so yeah.
And Andrew Kaplan, Wizard of Watch DA, has done some of his finest work. If you were watching on Twitch or on YouTube on CBS Sports Radio or on WatchDA.com, we did Jerry Jones morphing into Jack Stern before. He has Jack Stern as the Cowboys GM.
It's incredible. It's incredible. He's pumping his fist in front of a Cowboys helmet, and he's given Jack some salt and pepper hair, so it looks like he's an aged executive. And it is just awesome. And in a strange way, I would trust Jack in that spot. Looking like that. I trust that guy.
Oh, that's weird.
It's kind of perfect. You can watch the show at YouTube and on Twitch. And at WatchDA.com. Let's listen into the Yes Network as Yankees outfielder Harrison Bader finds out he was placed on waivers.
How did you find out you were put on waivers today?
I was in the lunchroom. I saw it on ESPN. I guess it popped up somehow over there, so that's how I found out.
What was your reaction when you saw that news?
Like, what does waivers mean?
Number one, I think that's a fair question.
Me too.
Number two, awkward. Imagine hanging out at your place of employment with all of your fellow employees in a communal area. And then seeing on the TV that you were fired.
It happened to Lucas Giolito, too. He said he saw a tweet, saw it on Twitter.
I feel like that's going to happen here to us.
Well, I think it's on the table.
I can see that.
We're all watching Sunday Night Football. We're like, wait a second.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is public knowledge now, but whatever. When our former colleague Craig Carton was taken into custody, we found out because it was on the scroll on TV. No one had told anybody here.
It was on the local news.
Yeah.
Should Harrison Bader know what waivers are?
Absolutely.
No, he should not know what waivers are. He should have known that he was on waivers before it was on TV.
Because the Yankees should have told him?
Correct.
So he shouldn't have to know what the process is,
but
the team should let him know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be professional.
He should have known maybe the morning of.
Right. Professional courtesy. Hey, we're putting you on waivers today.
Right. What were your first thoughts? What are waivers? That means pack your bags, buddy. You're out of here.
Well, yeah. Like, what does waivers mean?
I don't know if I would have admitted that, by the way. It is pretty wild that the Yankees didn't alert him, and they must have made the decision early in the morning, as Pete said, because by the time it's on a scroll,
it's hours later.
It's hours later. It might not even... It had to be an official transaction, which is then reported, which is then posted.
Right. It's like the NFL. Like, it's the end of the day. All these names get submitted, and then everybody gets an email of here's what everybody did. Injured list, waivers. So the Yankees knew it was going to get out and just chose not. It's not like they hit send on the waiver request and then Jeff Passan's phone buzzed.
Yeah, right.
And he yelled into a microphone that Harrison Bader was on waivers.
Right, yeah, right.
There was a gap. So how you don't just send someone to the clubhouse and be like, Harrison, just so you know, before you see it anywhere, you're on waivers.
What a dumpster fire they've become.
Real. Yeah. Because in the old, like in the oldish system, when there were the initial trade deadline and then the waiver, when it got to August 1st, almost everybody was put on waivers in case some other team was like, yeah, I'll take that bad contract, because you could pull them back, like Pete mentioned last hour. Now you don't do that because you can't pull guys back. So it's not tradition, so to speak, anymore for everyone to be on waivers. So it's a unique decision that you have to make the players aware of, that we're about to find out that we kind of don't want you anymore.
And like, how do you... They were not in a... They really... You couldn't convince yourself, if you were a Yankee fan, that they were going to make the playoffs last month. Why not try to trade them last month? Get something, anything back.
Yep.
Totally. Oh, my God.
Yep.
It's like, you know, you were saying, what if that happens to this show? This is picture watching Ian Eagle throw it down to Evan Washburn. Yeah, breaking news from our radio affiliate with regards to the DA show.
They have found a new producer heading into the Super Bowl.
After 8 months.
Here is a clip from Hard Knocks on HBO Sports as Aaron Rodgers, in the middle of the Jets and Giants preseason game, talks with Giants offensive lineman Jahad Ward.
Then I just bootleg out to the left, flipping it left, McCole Hardman.
Bro, yeah. Show some respect, bro. Come on, what the f*** is that? Five damn sets? I don't even know who you are, bro.
I don't know who you are.
You don't? I've never heard of you.
Let's go. And the officials have it separate Jahad Ward and Aaron Rodgers. Drops back, lobs one, front left pylon. It is caught, Garrett Wilson. That's a Jet touchdown.
Poke the bear.
Oh, I'm not doing
you,
that.
Bro.
I'm not
hurting you. Now I gave him the line that's uncomeback with a bowl. I said, I don't even know who you are. But he said, I don't know who you are. I said, both.
Wow, I didn't see this episode yet. So Jahad Ward pulled the I don't even know who you are card to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think Rodgers went first.
Pulled it first to him, and then he goes, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, which is a pretty amazing line. I mean, of course he knows who Aaron Rodgers is. So that's a pretty good, like, I can't see you. It's like the new I can't see you.
That's like, yeah. It's like, you smell butts.
Yeah, right.
But Rodgers sounds like a douche, I guess, when you first listen to this. But I watched the clip. I haven't watched the episode, but I saw the clip. It's a preseason game, and he runs into Rodgers like five steps after he throws the ball.
And they didn't flag it.
I don't know if they flagged it or not. He kind of just like gave him a very light shove, but still, the fact that he even touched him that late after he threw it.
And
Saturday,
now that Rodgers can't even be touched.
Yeah. And Saturday,
angry.
Rodgers said when they asked him about it, he's like, wait for Hard Knocks. He was teasing Hard Knocks post-game on Saturday.
He knows what to do.
Mm-hmm. He loves the TV show.
Good game show host. Good teaser.
Yep. He loves the TV show.
Maybe he'll pay the writers.
His writers. Finally, here's Chris Moore, a.k.a. Simo, here on CBS Sports Radio. Is this from the weekend?
Correct. Yes, I think Sunday morning.
Simo oftentimes does weekend hosting here on CBS Sports Radio. Sounds like he's going to be talking to a caller. Says, am I... Shot sheet, Beef, B-E-E-F, a caller named Beef in Iowa.
Beef is on the hoof in Iowa. Hi, Beef.
I was wondering, is that something you're doing, or do you have like a sounder?
Oh, no, that's the cow that I have right out in front. You know, if I just touch him in the right spot, that's it. I mean, there's not a lot to it. Yeah,
that's nice.
Very good. It's always good to have a friend, you know.
Right. I used to do a post-game radio show, call-in show for the UNI Panthers after their games a couple of years ago. And they actually recorded my moo, so.
Very nice. That's
yeah,
important.
It was pretty cool.
People look forward to that.
Wow. There is so much here.
What are you wowing?
Well, my first wow. What are you wowing? My first wow is that Beef in Iowa is the UNI Panthers postgame host.
Former.
Was.
Yes.
I feel like if I was driving home from a UNI Panthers game, I would want to hear Beef break it down. Number two, I can't tell. Is Chris Moore doing the cow there?
Yeah.
That's his cow.
It's pretty good.
Well, that's not a drop. He's not playing that.
No. Chris Moore playing drops.
Well, who's ever on the board?
Nick Theodoro, Papa Giorgio, who sent me this, playing drops. Fuck if he's awake on the board. I'm just kidding. Nick's a great guy.
I'm not.
Pete didn't hire him either.
He's a great guy, though.
Oh, yeah. Chris, what are you want me to play a cow sound for
Okay, so that's a really good cow that Chris Moore's doing. He did both of those?
I think the caller did one of those.
Beef in Iowa.
Did his own.
Produced the first one. Remember, because he said they used to play his drop for the UNI Panthers.
So,
post-game.
So these are both verbal moves. Beef did one that's dueling moves.
It's dueling moves.
It's how they greet each other.
How cows greet each other or how
Beef and Simo do.
Okay. Is this comp, like he calls up a lot?
You're asking if I listen to the weekend. I don't listen to this show and I'm not here. I'm not listening to the weekend programming.
You don't listen to this show in between updates.
No, I mostly do.
Mostly?
Schwartz is not here. We're talking about Bogus.
So this is all types of amazing, and a guy named Beef has to be from Iowa, Nebraska, somewhere in the Midwest. So this is a great spot for him to be, and when he picks up the phone, he has to answer with a moo. That's a signature. You got to do it that way. So when you call up Beef's postgame show, it's Panthers postgame, here on 1380 AM, he has to just moo. What are the Panthers doing there late in the fourth quarter? Why are they running on third and six?
That's when he doesn't like things. That 3-point shot by Perkins late in the shot clock.
I wonder why he's the former post-game voice. Maybe he found out he was on waivers.
Do we think,
in the Daily Corn?
Do we think his name is Beef? Because he's a big dude, and because his last name is some form of Beef, like Beeferson.
Yeah.
Is it Mark Beeferson? Is Mark Beef Beeferson?
Again, these are great questions.
Is his nickname
Beef because he resembles a hunk of meat, or because his last name is Beeferson?
Jeff Beefman.
Is this Hank Beeferson of Norville, Iowa? And if there is a Hank Beeferson out there who got the nickname Beef, he shouldn't even have to send in a demo. It should just, yes, you're the UNI postgame guy.
Bob Beeferson.
Bob Beeferson. Thank you. Bob Beeferson. Otherwise known as Robert to you. And Bob Beeferson is definitely the guy you go to an old school Pizza Hut with to watch.
That's right.
Hawkeyes Gophers on a Saturday.
He has the stained white polo. And some LA gears on.
I am voraciously trying to find the former post-game show host.
I can't find him either, but I need to know more about Beef, who did post-game. Panthers post-game. Those are really good cow moves. Those are really good. I like everything about that. I love that clip. I need more of that clip. Yeah. That is you. Now we need Hurricane Jen yelling no at the cows. Stop going in my yard. No.
No.
Oh, this cow has wandered into my living room again.
No.
Oh, this cow is
no
lying down in back of my Buick again. I can't back out of the driveway.
No, no, no.
That basically is the the coach's press conference after the UNI game.
How'd you do today?
No.
Coach, were you happy with your team's performance? No, is what I was waiting for.
No.
Oh,
there you go. All right, we'll see you next week against Youngstown State.
Thank you.
No.
Horizon League Final coming up next.
Coach, do you think you guys were prepared to play the Salukis?
No.
I just searched UNI Panthers beef, and the first thing that pops up on YouTube is a video of UNI Panthers fans enjoying beef while tailgating for Illinois State.
Yeah. I mean, think of the marketing possibilities of a beef-hosted post-game show with the move of the night or something like that. You could do so much.
That's great.
Of the night. That's brought great. To you by
yeah.
no.
Pizza Hut.
Right. Here's the call. Here's like... the officials, here's the penalty of the game that you had a beef with.
Yes.
This is not the time, Mace. If I don't want to come down here and see me talking to you or your ass, I'm history.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always watch us on YouTube or on Twitch or at watchda.com. Joe tweets, DA, obesity is a problem. It's not uncommon to find TV remotes and days-old sandwiches inside people's fat rolls. Really? I did not know that. That's weird. That's wacky stuff.
Arsenio!
Oh!
Timbo Slice writes, I love how Mraz is gone and now you're just throwing the F word around. LOL. Mm. By the way, that's from the account at DA's 100 pounds.
How's that going, by the way, Fatty?
I was trending poorly. Then last week on vacation, I went to the gym twice and did a really good big time workout. And then this week, back to no workout. So I probably, whatever gains I made with a Z last week, I've given it all back and then doubled it because I've been driving around with AJ the last couple of days just trying to get him to go to sleep. Ugh. He sleeps well in the car. And he's 3 months old, and it's just me watching him in the afternoons. My wife has had to go to work. So the only thing I can do is go through fast food drive-thrus. So I've hit the BK for that new BK crisp chicken wrap 2 days ago, plus fries. And then yesterday had a Crunchwrap Supreme from Taco Bell. So I'm not doing well in the fatty department.
Look out.
Yeah. Maybe you could start hiding things in your folds.
Seriously.
New goals in life.
Right? At this point, I'll be the one getting nabbed with a Lucas Giolito bobblehead inside my fat rolls coming up here in a September game.
Maggie Gray's gifted Bills jersey is under fold 3 on your right hip.
And they're all numbered.
To all the D-Aliens that were so kind to send me and Pete the Body Amazon gift cards, please, no more gifts you cannot send because it could get hidden in my fat rolls coming up your shoulder. And I'll never be able to find it or cash it in. So.
What if we
Sorry.
See?
Sorry, I thought we had more Little Wet, Little Drippy koozies left, but I don't think so, although they could be caught in my fat rolls.
They might be all over the floor right now.
Pete, in lieu of a fourth round of interviews, what if the remaining candidates for Sean's job climbed into DA's folds and whoever stayed in the longest got the job?
Yeah, we got like a contest or something.
So it's hysterical because I come into work today and say, hey, I've got a Schwartz clip that I want you guys to pull and play from this morning's. He was on the local side of things, the embargoed radio station. And they said, well, it just so happens that we have a clip that we want to play from Schwartz. So I said, you know what? Forget sound check. Let's do its own segment. So kind of like a dueling piano bar. We've just walked into an Old West saloon.
And here's your sarsaparilla and your spittoon.
Here's how many fat rolls do you have today?
Here's your sarsaparilla. Right, and here's your deviated septum. As Schwartz snores at the end of the bar. So, why don't we play my clip first? This is the clip that I wanted to play here on the air, and we'll see dueling Schwartz's, which one is more Schwartz.
It just never made any sense. He was a homegrown player. He was your guy. And he had his moments where he wasn't good, but he certainly had moments that he was good. And I just never, again, it never made any sense to me. Plus, I had gotten a whole bunch of his baseball cards, and then I had to throw them in the old Yankee box.
Well, see, that's one reason. The other one,
I was ticked.
Schwartz didn't like the Harrison Bader trade or release or whatever because he has a box of baseball cards of former Yankee players, and now he has to take him from the current Yankee players' box and put it in the old Yankee players' box. That's part of the annoyance with this move as a Yankee fan for him. All of that work he has to go through.
Put it right next to a Dave LaPointe card.
I mean, the fact that he could take the Harrison Bader decision and make it about himself is truly an art form for Schwartz.
That's classic Schwartz.
How can I make this about me? Oh, I've got his baseball cards. Now I have to put it in the old Yankee box. That was the clip I wanted to present in soundcheck. Here is the one that was it Pete or Pat that brought it in?
It was me and then Pat. We all collaborated.
Okay, here's the second clip.
Boys have clearly outgrown this, so the next vacation will be two rooms.
Four people in one hotel room?
You're drooling on yourself. Yeah. You can't believe it. What the?
That's it.
And one of them is a high school long snapper.
He's a long snapper. He's sleeping with his parents on vacation.
It's the last time that's going
to
happen.
You have to snore. You must snore.
No, I have a seat. No, not anymore. I have a CPAP machine.
No, you're wearing that with them in the room?
That too, with them in the room?
You must be like Darth Vader at night.
It's not like a bunch of DJ equipment. It's a little box that sits on the nightstand.
My God, Peter, I'm trying, but I can't understand this.
It's rough. Only one bathroom, two beds, and a TV. That's not easy.
One of your boys drops a deuce. What happens? It's got to stink up the whole apartment, the room. What's going on here? What happens when you want to do a little finicule, finicula? But then what happens? Boys leave. What goes on? Hey guys,
well,
you know. I mean, I don't know what to tell you on that. This is the last time that they're going to be in the room with us.
You didn't answer the question though. Funicula.
So that's Peter Schwartz saying that it's going to be the last time they're all going to share one room.
Yeah.
On
okay.
Vacation.
So first of all, we have an embargoed radio station that we've now played two clips from in the same segment.
Correct.
So I guess that embargo is now over as well.
Also, this week on New York accent.
It's evidence. It's evidence, and we need for somebody that's on our station.
I think you guys win. Your clip is better because that is an amazing admission that the Schwartzes go on vacation, and four of them, two of them being high school aged boys, share one hotel room. And that includes Schwartz, who's a big man, lugging around his CPAP machine as well.
As if that's better than snoring. Their dad in a nose guard attached to a machine.
And a huge thing that you got.
I mean, the machine is designed, right, to make sure you make it through the night, right? And like,
and Schwartz's oldest son is almost as big as Schwartz is these days. He came to the Bob's Bar Show. He's an enormous kid. So you got two large kids.
In one bed?
Huge Schwartz. They probably get a cot. And then all in one room and a CPAP machine plus luggage.
And this vacation, by the way, is in... Canton, Ohio, I think, for the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions. You're not even at the beach.
So they're definitely collecting tons of memorabilia and also adding that to the room.
The poor mother. Three boys and her. Oh.
That's a rough weekend in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, and obviously cost plays into this. Everybody can afford like Boomer a second hotel for all the kids you're lugging around. But, I mean, Boomer's not 100% wrong here in that those boys are teenagers. They need to be in their own space. Funicula, funiculi, whatever aside, they just need to have their own room, not near mom and dad anymore. They can get adjoining rooms. They're there for. Open up the door and there you go.
I don't even want to picture that. Funiculi, funicula.
They're big boys. That's the issue. It's not like, you know, if you bring your baby on the road, or you bring your 2-year-old, or you bring your 6-year-old, or you're a bunch of skinny people or whatever.
Well, it's just regardless of skinny or not, they're old enough to be in a room by themselves for the night. Even if it's the next room unconnected.
It's a squeeze.
It's a squeeze.
That's a squeeze.
Yes.
Honey, I want to do it with the mask on.
Take out the DJ equipment.
Do your band impersonation.
The breathing gets heavier.
We're getting an email today about this one.
Just do the update here and no stun. We'll do stun next hour.
If that was stunned enough.
That feels like a stunned. We just had.
Somehow the visual is not gross because of the laughing of the air machine. The breathing apparatus.
It's like a sketch. It's like a Family Guy episode.
Right, it is.
Like that would be the premise.
My stomach hurts, man.
You know what, Boyle? That performance gets you a pass through the fat roll round.
Right.
You don't need to do that. You're still alive.
You're still alive.
You move forward. Now the person who survives DA's fat folds goes up against you in the final round for Sean Joe.
Hump.
You've got a bye.
You've earned a bye through the fat fold round.
In case you're keeping score at home.
The automatic qualifier out of the fat fold region.
Unfortunately, Dana McCannigsburg still has to sift through my fat folds.
Billy, climb in, but Boyle's safe.
You got to find Billy Jack alone in my fat folds. I can hear him. He's somewhere around here.
Pokes a hand out every now and then.
Just hear random names of net players.
Like a whack-a-mole. Standing by with our final headlines of the morning is a kind sir, a wonderful gentleman in his own right, scholar as well, Andrew Bogish.
DA was the cold open 3.5 hours ago. Yesterday's roster deadline came and went with Jonathan Taylor still in Indy. Maybe the Colts had two legit offers for their unhappy running back, but didn't accept either. Instead, Taylor begins the year on the PUP list following off-season ankle surgery. He'll miss the first 4 games of the season at least. After that, a TV station in Indy says a suspension is possible, with the Colts believing that Taylor is already healthy enough to play and that he is staging a hold-in because he wants that new contract. As you've heard by now, the Patriots only have Mac Jones on their roster right now at QB. Bailey Zappe, Malik Cunningham put on waivers yesterday with the team apparently hoping both end up back on their practice squad. At least Zappi, they'd like to end up being their backup still. To baseball, and the Phillies keep hitting homers, and they keep winning games as well. Alec Bohm, a go-ahead three-run shot. Five total dingers last night. That's 57 for the month. A 12-7 final over the Angels last night, extending the Philly win streak to five. They maintain their four-game lead on the Cubs atop the wildcard standings since those Cubbies snapped the Brewers' nine-game win streak, 1-0 at Wrigley last night. Cincy's Spencer Steer broke up Giants righty Alex Cobb's no-hitter with a double with two outs, top nine. Cobb settling for a 131-pitch complete game, a 6-1 victory, which leapfrogs his Giants over the Diamondbacks for the last NL wildcard spot. Arizona, a 9-1 loss at Dodger Stadium last night. The Mariners fell to Oakland 3-1 after the Rangers held off the Mets 2-1, and the Astros won at Fenway 6-2. So there's a three-way tie for first in the AL West this morning. It's not just those six Angels on waivers right now. White Sox righty Mike Clevinger, Mets righty Carlos Carrasco, and Harrison Bader. The Yankees are there for the taking as well. Claims awarded tomorrow, with the pick order going from worst to first. The Yankees also cut Josh Donaldson yesterday, I think roughly 2 months after a very wise Bob the Deli Man maybe rudely told team president Randy Levine in the Yankee Stadium elevator to cut Donaldson. But Bob has never seen the future better than on that May night in the Bronx. USA men's basketball rolling to a 110-62 win over Jordan to finish group play at the FIBA World Cup in the Philippines. Anthony Edwards scored 22 points in 19 minutes. Round two starts Friday against Montenegro. 43-year-old Venus Williams with her third consecutive first-round loss at the U.S. Open. This time 6-1, 6-1 to Belgian qualifier Harriet Minnen.
I really gave it my all today, and I really... you know, played some great shots, but she had some incredible answers to that, and I wish I could have been more prepared for that.
We still have no idea how much longer Venus plans to play on the men's side.
I'm sure she'll probably be on Arthur Ashe, though, again next year, and she'll play the 300th ranked player and lose 6-1, 6-1.
You think she'll do it one more time?
She shouldn't.
See, I actually think she's just going to go away, unlike Serena. She's going to tell us she's done playing. I don't think she's in it for, like, goodbye. Like, she just wants to play now. This is not her hanging on for ovations and a goodbye tour.
She can't play.
Right. So this is her just trying to play. When she's done, she's just going to be done. There'll be no advance warning.
43 years old now?
Yeah.
Boy, that's really old for a tennis player, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like way older than you would be in baseball. I mean, what's the equivalent in baseball or basketball? It's like being like 50.
I mean, it's Brady. It'd be like if
Moises Alou was still playing.
Right. Not the production of Brady, but in terms of how far the age is. And she's also playing singles. Like, there are players who have hung around playing doubles.
Right.
That old-ish, but 43 trying
singles
to play singles.
Singles tennis at 43 is like if Brady played quarterback at 55.
Really? That's what I'm saying. It's like 43 years old to play singles.
The toll on your body, the amount of...
Yeah, you've got young people coming in that can be 16
right.
playing, 17 years
like
old.
Like, your peak age in tennis is like 26 to 28.
Right.
Not on the women's side. It's even younger on the women's side.
Yeah. Or younger on the women's side.
Right.
Yeah. WNBA last night, the Mystics outscored the Lynx 83-72 to take over fifth place in the playoff chase. Now, stunned. Woo-hoo!
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So this one came courtesy of our friend Moose, Milwaukee Moose, Moose in Wisconsin. I confused the Meese. There's more than one, right?
The Meese.
Congrats to Wenzel's Farm in Marshfield, Wisconsin. They celebrated recently their 75th anniversary by getting into the Guinness Book of World Records making a 314-foot meat snack stick.
Is that right?
I guess that's the non-copyrighted name of a Slim Jim. Wenzel's Farms has been producing regular-sized meat stick snacks and other products since 1949, still operating on the original family farm.
Wow.
Now, I don't want to rain on their 75th anniversary parade.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of don't accept the Guinness Book of World Records, this ilk, where it's just like, I'm going to make the longest
right.
or the biggest. Now, if you want to give me the biggest pumpkin that you had to like kind of grow and cultivate, and maybe there's a little bit of skill involved, maybe I can listen.
Right.
But like, just rolling out the longest continual thing of meat that's basically just a machine doing it into human hands and you're just stretching it out, I don't know if that's world record in the truest sense of the term.
I understand your skepticism here. In one way, though, I'm proud that it's a small family farm
yes,
doing it and not
correct.
Johnsonville or Purdue or something like that.
Definitely.
And I wonder, like, is this meat stick going to be like a Slim Jim, or is it
I don't know what else to
thicker piece of meat?
I mean, it's got to be thicker to survive the 314-foot journey
right.
from tip to base.
And there's a 312-foot meat stick out there?
Right, and now tomorrow, I'll just do 316 and I win. Like, that's what I... This is like, I'm going to do one more than the last guy.
I'm looking at the story. Do they decide why it's 314 feet?
Like, yeah, I don't know if that's just when it stopped working correctly. Because like, you know, if
you're right off the bone,
you'll learn this soon with sweet little Andrew Jeremiah. When you're doing like Play-Doh,
Andrew Jeremiah,
and you know, like the Play-Doh like spaghetti maker thing. At some point, the string just kind of dies. Like it just
yes.
can't hold itself up anymore. So
right.
I'm wondering if this happened here that they just finally 314 wasn't the goal. That's just when the link was broken.
Well, they had it. They rolled it out on like a big hamster wheel kind of thing.
Oh, you're seeing this?
The article that Bogue sent us. If you click on that link. Oh, actually, no. I had to go. There's no picture in the link you sent.
Yeah.
Bad link. I Googled Menzel's Farm. What the hell the name of the farm is?
Wenzel's Farm.
314-foot meat stick.
Oh, yeah,
and you just click images, and they're like rolling it out on like a wheel, basically.
It almost looks like one of those old school bingo machines, like just like a wood circle with some fencing around it. And Boyle's right; they're just rolling it instead of going straight 314 feet. It's just coiling over this barrel kind of thing.
I like handling meat.
Yeah.
I do.
I see at least six people handling this particular meat stick snack.
Oh,
hump.
I see. It's kind of almost like fruit by the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Meat by the foot.
It's meat by the foot.
It's the way meat should be served.
You know, yeah, I'm torn. I mean, you know, a Slim Jim's fine in a pinch. You run into a gas station, a truck stop or something. You don't want to wait in line for the hot food. Or maybe there's a taquito or some type of hot dog that's been on that roller since last Tuesday. And so you're like, you know what? I don't feel like chips. I don't feel like candy. Let me snap into a Slim Jim. Ooh, yeah. At the same time, if you're an actual beef farm or meat farm, you've been around since the 40s, I feel like there's a better way to achieve fame.
I got a lot of meat on my bones.
Than a coiled hose of meat stick?
I mean, it's probably have quality meat. LaFrieda,
but
that's a quality purveyor of meat right there.
Sure, but that wouldn't make it to this show. If they released, like, the original recipe of their first meat stick from 1952, that would not make Stunned to a News on this national sports talk radio show. But rolling out 314 feet of meat did.
Somebody in that marketing department's getting a raise.
This is where the Guinness Book of World Records loses me, just
and
like
it's
you.
It's dumb.
Because you can create your own record of this case, or what happens if we just bought a bunch of Slim Jims and taped them together to make 315 feet?
Can't do that.
Oh, baloney.
There are rules, DA.
What's the rule?
I think for a Guinness Book of World Records, somebody from Guinness has to be there
right.
to observe it.
Yeah, be here and we'll tape them all together.
But that's not going to be, it's continuous. This is an uninterrupted 314
feet. All right, well,
feet.
Our record is the longest Slim Jim taped meat stick. And that's a record.
Yeah.
Suddenly everything's a record.
Yeah. There's no last page to the book. That's my problem.
They watered it down. When we used to go to the book fair in third grade, and you could get the Guinness Book of World Records, you thumb through it, and there were real records in there. You know, tallest human being, the two fat twins on the bikes. the motorcycles.
How many guns can you hide inside your fat folds?
There's legit records, and now we're just futzing around and watering it down.
That was close.
With continuous meat sticks. I'm out.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
What if Jerry Jones took his cues from Jack?
It's like putting a tick on a tampon and asking them not to swell up.
And here we go.
Welcome to Wednesday.
Now, I don't even know if Jerry really said that.
I don't think he did.
But you could make... Like, you could convince me that he definitely did.
Yeah, or that he will now.
We've got it down to the nitty-gritty. We really do.
Kind of circumcising the mosquito.
It's like putting a cucumber in brine and asking him not to be a pickle.
Zeke Prescott. Spanking himself.
It's like putting Larry Allen at an old country buffet and asking him not to fall over. Mashed potatoes all over his face.
It's like asking the actors to pay the writers so the strike ends.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's like putting a skeeter on a tamp.
You would definitely say skeeter.
Mosquito.
It's like talking about the Arizona Cardinals not having the CBS Sports Insider on.
Nice and cute as always. It's like talking NFC West without a young man that's grown up in a Brooklyn brownstone. Just makes sense.
It's like going to a 5-star restaurant and getting filled up on bread and butter.
Imagine Jerry starts stealing Jackisms. Wait, I heard that before.
I might be the psychopath here.
It's like watching Peyton and Eli and thinking it can't get better, and all of a sudden, Ark comes along.
Ark Manning.
It's like biting into the freshest Tangier chicken you've ever eaten.
It's so succulent and delicious.
It's so succulent and delicious.
You leave just so satisfied. Kind of like week one of college football. Wait a second, I've heard that somewhere before.
Kai Horton
started a Jets chant on a train today. Let's go, Jets.
You know the old Jets chant. Let's go, Jets.
Let's go, Jets.
I feel that way every time I watch Aaron Rodgers take the field.
Start me up, Aaron. Let's go, Jets.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Oh, man. Poll question, do you feel nostalgia for retro Pizza Hut like I do and Pete the Body? 66% say yes, love the Hut. Data tells us used to be a Pizza Hut is a Twitter account dedicated to finding former Pizza Hut restaurants, including those with the famous red plastic cups, dark lighting, and mahogany tables. Pizza Hut was the first pizza company to deliver in outer space in 01. Pizza Hut made the longest journey yet when it delivered pizza to the International Space Station. How does that work? Is it really a delivery, or they just put a Pizza Hut on a spaceship or rocket? The company's website also states that the founding brothers named it Pizza Hut because their signage space only had enough rooms for 8 letters. All of this is amazing. Alan tweets, DA could hide a gun under that helmet he calls hair. Hashtag barber.
Under that helmet.
And Allie tweets, and I woke up to DA and you guys ranking cow moose and Saluki Bob beef eater. Absurdity at its best. Hey, that's Bob Beefaroni. Thanks to Pat Boyle, executive producer, Pete the Body Bellotti, the Wheels of Steel and audio director, Andrew Bogush on your headlines, Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
What if Jerry Jones took his cues from Jack?
It's like putting a tick on a tampon and asking him to not to swell up.
And here we go.
Welcome to Wednesday.
Now, I don't even know if Jerry really said that.
I don't think he did.
But you could make... Like, you could convince me that he definitely did.
Yeah, or that he will now.
We've got it down to the nitty-gritty. We really do.
Kind of circumcising the mosquito.
It's like putting a cucumber in brine and asking him not to be a pickle.
Zeke Prescott. Spanking himself.
It's like putting Larry Allen at an old country buffet and asking him not to fall over. Mashed potatoes all over his face.
It's like asking the actors to pay the writers so the strike ends.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's like putting a skeeter on a tampon.
You would definitely say skeeter.
Mosquito.
It's like talking about the Arizona Cardinals not having the CBS Sports Insider on.
Nice and cute as always. It's like talking NFC West without a young man that's grown up in a Brooklyn brownstone. Just makes sense.
It's like going to a five-star restaurant and getting filled up on bread and butter.
Imagine Jerry starts stealing Jackisms. Wait, I heard that before.
I might be the psychopath here.
It's like watching Peyton and Eli and thinking it can't get better, and all of a sudden, Ark comes along.
Ark Manning.
It's like biting into the freshest Tangier chicken you've ever eaten.
It's so succulent and delicious.
It's so succulent and delicious.
You leave just so satisfied. Kind of like week one of college football.
Wait a second, I've heard that somewhere before.
Kai Horton
started a Jets chant on a train today. Let's go, Jets.
You know the old Jets chant. Let's go, Jets.
Let's go, Jets.
I feel that way every time I watch Aaron Rodgers take the field.
Start me up, Aaron. Let's go, Jets.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Oh, man. Poll question, do you feel nostalgia for retro Pizza Hut like I do and Pete the Body? 66% say yes, love the Hut. Data tells us used to be a Pizza Hut is a Twitter account dedicated to finding former Pizza Hut restaurants, including those with the famous red plastic cups, dark lighting, and mahogany tables. Pizza Hut was the first pizza company to deliver in outer space in 01. Pizza Hut made the longest journey yet when it delivered pizza to the International Space Station. How does that work? Is that really a delivery, or they just put a Pizza Hut on a spaceship or rocket? The company's website also states that the founding brothers named it Pizza Hut because their signage space only had enough rooms for 8 letters. All of this is amazing. Alan tweets, DA could hide a gun under that helmet he calls hair. Hashtag barber.
Under that helmet.
And Allie tweets, and I woke up to DA and you guys ranking cow moos and Saluki Bob Beefeater. Absurdity at its best. Hey, that's Bob Beefaroni. Thanks to Pat Boyle, executive producer, Pete the Body Bellotti, the Wheels of Steel and audio director, Andrew Bogush on your headlines, Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.